All right. We get to talk about one of my favorite subjects. This is women. Since it's Mother's Day. And so I'm going to talk about mothers a little bit, but mostly I'm going to be talking about women. And the reason is our culture is so messed up on women and men. And it's been done on purpose. Maybe I'll talk about men next month on Father's Day, but there's no promises. I wasn't even going to do on women. I was going to keep talking about Spirit-led prayer. And then this afternoon I thought, no, I think this is appropriate. It's on my heart. And our culture and its definition of men and women is just so messed up. I don't know how far I can get in a 25-minute talk to redefine it, but at least I want to go in the right direction. And it's been done on purpose. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, it said, "Let us make man, male and female, in my image." And we're going to explore that some more. I believe when he made Adam, had male and female together, then when Eve was taken out of his side, not his feet, not his head, we'll talk about that a little bit, I believe there are certain characteristics that came out of man and went into woman, and we'll talk about those. Those together reflect on the image of God. And it was the pattern. First institution was marriage. The second institution was family. He said, "Multiply, be fruitful." And he's talking about having kids on the earth and spread my image all over the earth. The reason men have been demasculated in our society, I'm not saying in this room, but in our culture, we've put down the masculinity of man. Now, I know there's toxic males, but there's toxic women, too. They're just toxic people. But that doesn't mean we throw out the whole thing. There's a masculinity that is of God, and there's a femininity of women, and they're not supposed to be the same. And the devil has distorted these two views because he realizes we need both parts for a complete picture of mankind. And a family needs both parts. And it's just absolutely insane. It's the epitome of demonic deception to say there's no difference between men and women. You know, that there's men can have kids. Men can have monthly periods. It's just the most stupid ideas. We have, professing to be wise, we have become fools. Equality doesn't mean equal in everything. Men and women are equal, but we're different. You can be equal in your differentness if we pay attention to that. And we need to resurrect this. And so we'll save masculinity for another time. I'll touch about it a little bit at the end. But I want to talk about femininity because it has absolutely been destroyed in our society. And I think maybe we're waking up a little bit. Do you realize the trans movement has been the most deadly opposite antidote to killing the feminist movement on the earth? Even secular feminists are going, this has totally destroyed it. Why? Because women have to compete against men in fencing or whatever the latest little thing is. And femininity even wasn't even right, but it has been totally destroyed. And it's demonic. And I want us to return and start getting a little bit of a vision for the uniqueness and the brilliance of God's, what He created with men and women. Because if we restore that, one's not better than the other, but it'll restore balance and also identity. Men are in a pathetic state in our country. They're weakened. They have no purpose. They have no vision. And I'm talking generically, not in here. They have no direction. Women are basically sex objects. They're ranked on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10. And that's their beauty. And I'm going to talk about how that's been perverted and how God's taken the general ways that He's made us and perverted it and flipped it on its backside. Because the Lord's wanting to restore it. And the Lord, we always say the Lord wants to restore the family. He does, but He can't restore the family until He restores the husband and wife in a marriage role. And He can't restore the husband and wife in a marriage role until men understand what it means to be men and women understand what it means to be women, how they've created them. And that topic we could talk for weeks on. But and so culture has just pushed women in, and everything has gone to just a flesh level. Okay, we're made up of three parts, spirit on the inside, our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, and some other things, and then the body. All the devil knows to do is focus on the body. And we see this everywhere. I mean, everything is sexualized, everything is about the body. And what we can do with our body. And that shows how far we've gone. We are basically, I'm not saying in this room, but we're basically a nation that has given up on character, has given up on the soul, which is a strong mind, healthy emotions, appropriate will. We have given up on these things, and all we do is talk about our bodies, whatever is good. Do you see how far we've come from being spirit-led people to being flesh-led? And so, I'm going to do real quick four things, talk about women, and then we'll talk about some of the characteristics. And I'll just go through here real fast. Is women, the Bible calls them daughters of God. Calls you sons of God. There's no gender in the Spirit. And women can hear from God just as well as men can. And they, it says in John 1:12, however, He gave the right for all of us to become God's children to everyone who believed in Him. And so I just tell you, women, you can hear from God just as well as your husband can. You can hear from God just as well if you have a male pastor. If you're here, then you got a male pastor. You can hear just as well. Now, the Lord speaks in different contexts. Like, for instance, this family over here, the Freemans, I can hear from God for my family. I doubt He's ever going to tell me what to do for their family. He could give me a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, but that's the exception. He speaks to them in that context. So He doesn't speak to me about everybody in every situation, but in the areas that I walk in, we all can hear from God. Trini will hear differently. She may hear for what, now all your kids are grown, but she may hear when, okay, this is what I think we need to do with our family. And then John, even though he's technically the head, I believe that, but he can respect that she's a daughter of God and she can hear from God, and many times he'll hear from her. He's not the only one that always gets all the words for the whole family or vice versa. And so it's a maturity thing that's growing. The second thing that's just downplayed that's really is aggravating. So the daughter of God is the first one. The second thing that women are is if you're married, you are a wife. So we could talk about this a lot, but we're all mature here, so we get this. Being a wife is a high calling. The Lord said to Adam, I'm going to make you a wife that's a helpmate to you. Huh? For the wife. And we often think of that as a servant, just carry out my commands. But you realize multiple places in the Old Testament, it says that the Father is a helpmate to us. Now, is He our servant? Are we over him? Helpmate means one that's called to the same common purpose, the same common vision. Adam, you cannot do it on your own. You need a sounding board. You need other ideas of wisdom. You need other thoughts. A helpmate is one that comes along and says, let me help you in this journey. That's why it's so important that you marry somebody that's a Christian, that's following hard after God, because if you marry a Muslim, then they're going to take you in a whole different direction and it's just going to cause confusion. And so a wife, in many ways, it's harder to be a wife than it is to be a husband. They both have their strengths and weaknesses. But as Sean and I have talked about and other people have talked about, sometimes it's hard to walk with somebody else and when they're not listening. How do you do that with grace and humility? And so there's just a maturity there that he wants to give, and a grace and anointing that he wants to give. And he does give to wives to help be a good wife and also to be a good mother. So the third thing, first thing is daughter, then a wife, and then a mother. Genesis 3:20 says this. Out of the God's Word translation. I picked this translation because of what I'm about to read. Adam named his wife Eve. And in parentheses, because this is what it means, life. Because she became the mother of every living person. Adam named his wife Eve, brackets life, because she became the mother of every living person. Every person in this room is here because of a woman. We know that. And in Christianity, we value that. I value that. It's the highest calling. Without it, the whole world will die on this generation. It'll just be gone. There will be no next generation. And we so devalue it. Now, I don't have any problem with women working. That's not what I'm saying. Everybody's situation's unique. Everybody's calling's unique. But when feminism came along in the 70s, mostly, and said, that's your only value, that's where we messed up. There's a value in working. I mean, I work every day. There's a value in working. But I'm going to throw out to you, there's even a higher value into bringing life into the planet and then raising these kids. Helping raise. The husband's supposed to raise too. And that is so devalued today. And there's such a tax on both parents' roles. And the Lord's wanting to bring that back and honor motherhood. It is a hard job. I mean, we raised three kids, homeschooled them up through middle school. It's just a lot of work. And my wife had a computer science degree. We were both making about the same amount of money. And for us, it's not for everybody. We said, well, why don't you stay home? And she wanted to, and it was her idea, and raise these kids and homeschool them. Well, we took a 50% pay cut immediately. Somehow or another, we made it. And so, So as men, we need to value motherhood. It's not a lesser calling. It's not a second calling. I think it's a higher calling than being a software programmer, which I am, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think being a father is a higher calling than being a software programmer. I go to work so that my kids have some clothes to wear and something to eat. I get some value out of working, not as much as being a father. And so we need to value that in our little community and honor it and give the attention that it needs to it, because it's just so downplayed in our culture. And in the women that I have met outside of here, Not a whole lot. I'm pretty much in the church community that aren't Christians. There's a aching in a lot of women's hearts to value and do what I just said. Not all of them, but huge portions of them. Because women are created to bring life into the earth. They are created to nurture life into the earth. And something I found out recently, I got kids, my three kids go from 22 to 29. I'm not changing diapers anymore, but in some ways I'm still parenting just as intensely as when they were 4 years old. Maybe they don't scream in the middle of the night, but they have challenges. And they make wrong decisions, and they get to make them because they're an adult now. But you still have to figure out, how do I parent them and do that. And so we just keep valuing that. The fourth characteristic, I believe, for women is their unique perspective. And I've already preached on it, so I won't hit it too much. It's just so stupid. Anybody that's dated for 3 weeks, they have to totally give up all intelligence to go, well, men and women think the same and do the same. That is an ideology that if they think about more than 3 minutes, they realize, I'm stupid. And you hear PhDs talk about it. You hear people at college and you go, yeah, you're just stupid. You have bought into some ideology, some deception. You don't even have any. You must have never been married. You don't even have to be married. Date for 3 weeks and you know it. But it's good. It's to embrace the differences that happened at Adam and Eve. And it's hard for men typically to say, okay, there may be another perspective besides me. And it's hard for women, most women, not all of them, to actually speak up and go, my perspective is valuable. Because we don't live in a society that encourages that. And so we live all that out. There's tons of marriage books out there, tons of marriage ceremonies, conferences. But that's where it's at. But just acknowledge it and just say, okay, this is different. I don't like it. And my way's not the best. We've got to figure out how to work together. Now, here in this church, we do this even at a ministry level, at a church level. There's raging controversies in this city right now. Southern Baptist is almost split over it, of what's the role of women. And they've kicked out a lot of churches because, like, one of the biggest ones was Rick Warren's Saddleback Church, the guy that wrote Purpose Driven Life. They kicked him out because he ordained, I think it was 5 women, not to even be senior leaders, but he ordained 5 pastors. And so this is my take. If you have a different take, peace be with you. There's no judgment or no condemnation. But as I look at Scripture, there's actually a book out in the front that I wrote. A book. You have to read the book. It's a short one, though. It's only like 75 pages. On Can Women Minister to Men? So to use theological words, just so that you're trained here, if you believe that the Southern Baptist, that's called complementarian. Complementarian. Probably messing that word all up. That means women have a role, but they're not ever the senior position. And if you believe that way, I respect that. I mean, there's some good arguments for that. But we are the opposite. We believe in egalitarian. I don't expect you to remember those words. But that we're equal, but we do have different roles and contexts. Okay? If I serve as an assistant, the church I served under where I saw these baskets was a lady pastor. Now, this was 40 years ago. This is really radical. And it was a lady pastor, and I was assistant pastor. In that case, she was the senior leader, and I believe she could hear from God. And it was a great experience. But in the end, she had the final decision. You know, I had my part that I played and part that we did, I'm a big believer in that. So that's in this situation, when you've got an elders or leaders group, that's probably, I haven't counted it, but probably half 50% women, half 50% men. You know, it's easier to lead when it's all men, if you're a man, because you all think the same way. And if you're a woman leading, it's easier to lead if it's all women, because you all can almost read each other's minds and go to the bathroom together. And so, that was a low blow, wasn't it? Huh? Yeah, just strike that one from the record. Lord, forgive me. And so, it's a more of a challenge, just like it is in a marriage. But you come out of it with more unique perspectives if you'll slow down and listen to it. Now, before we get into, well, let me go ahead and, I did an article back in last November. You might remember it. So this is Craig speaking. I'm going to talk about it from the scripture a little bit. When the men and women were split, this is what I saw, believe happened. Certain characteristics went with men. Certain characteristics went with women. They were all God's characteristics, and he decided to display it in the sexes. I believe, and I'll give you some verses here, but in Genesis 1:26, let me repeat this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. I believe that men got strength and women got beauty. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean women don't have strength and men don't have beauty. But I think we all can see the difference, obviously, here. And when you start looking at internal characteristics, internal behaviors, not just external, you'll see what I'm talking about. And then we're going to talk about how the devil has perverted this. Because I think he knows. 1 John 2:14 says, I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. You're going to find, that's the only one I'm going to go through tonight, but you're going to find lots of strength, lots of verses when you talk about men. It's always about strength. And authority. You rarely see it with women. Women, you get verses like this. 1 Peter 3:3. Your beauty, and he's talking about women, should not come from just outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Which is of God worth in God, which is of great worth in God's sight. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, this is all of God's characteristics. We could find a lot of verses about the strength of God. We can also find lots of verses about the beauty of the Lord. He's both. That's how we're created in His image. And so, I believe that the primary technique, or the primary, one of the primaries, is others, I'm sure, that God gave man was strength for endurance and perseverance to protect, guide, direct, and oversee a family and his wife. That's why we like action movies. That's why women like romantic movies, as a general rule. I know there's exceptions. And the strength is not just a physical nature. There are times, being a father, and next month married 40 years over my kids, where father, it's just, they just need to man up and do what they have to do to raise, protect, and do. Now, many times women have to do it now in our society, and they do it. But it's not as, God will give them strength and grace, but it's not the same. And He has just given men strength to protect, go against injustice, break barriers, hold territory. And when men walk that way, it provides an umbrella or a protection over society that the devil has tried to steal for decades. Besides action movies, when you look at sitcoms and TV series, it's always a wimpy male. The comedy's always making fun of the wimpy men. That is not by accident. It's because the devil is scared of the strength that God will channel through men. Now, the devil will pervert this. Who is most of your dictators? Can you name one woman dictator over the last 200 to 300 years on an international scale? I couldn't think of one today. I didn't Google it. Almost always are men. Why? Because he goes, okay, there's this strength in them. We will pervert it and make it selfish instead of selfless. And this is where you get most of your dictators, controllers, abusers, bullies. And I know women can do it too, but there's probably 9-to-1 ratio here. Because it's the flip side of what he's done. And so us as men have got to be strength channeled by the Holy Spirit and not go, just do it because I told you to do it. Because that's selfish. And so you can see how a whole society, if you've never thought about this, has gotten really warped. Now women, let's flip this other way. As it said up here, charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In 1 Peter 3, instead it should be that your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now I'm just going to be blunt here. Most women in America I have seen, and even seen it a lot in the church, they focus on the flip side of beauty. I can tell by the way they dress. They know instinctively beauty attracts, because that's how they were made, and it's supposed to be that way. It's the beauty of the Lord. The beauty of the Lord is to attract us. Well, this one thing I desire. But instead of, men have their problems, we already talked about it, but instead of focusing on inner beauty, it gets flipped and they encourage sexual objects. Because they don't have any inner strength or inner beauty because we've not promoted that. And men like that because they're not following God, so they don't care about what you are on the inside as long as you wear tight-fitting dresses. It's flipped because they value the body more than their soul and spirit. And so men encourage the sexualization. Why? Because it's totally selfish, and it appeals to our flesh. So us as fathers, it wasn't really a battle, but with my two daughters, I was always, and it didn't always work, but I always got, and you're not leaving that because that brings attention to your form, and you're trying to get a guy's attention just through your sexual desires. And that will grow old quick. They will eventually use you and be gone to the next one. Because that's just the way it works. Sometimes they realize it too late. And they'll come back and go, well, you're right, Dad. Well, do with it the best you can. And so repent and move on. And so there's beauty in women, but don't give in to this sexualized thing. And if you have to attract a man through your body, you're attracting them through the flesh and not the soul and not the spirit, and they'll get their desires satiated and they'll move on with it. Maybe they get married, but they'll have affairs. This happens all the time because we are living, and then men, they get to be bullies with their wives, and then they end up getting divorced and getting ditched, and it's all messed up. And so as men, we're going to focus on strength, protection, perseverance for the right values. And women, we're going to focus on inner beauty. Outer beauty's good too. I'm not saying that. We're going to focus on inner beauty because it reflects the beauty of the Lord and it puts it in the right perspective.